Welcome back. I'm Pat Morrison. There's no grade attached, no teachers looking over your shoulder, so now you can ask anonymously all those thorny questions about punctuation, because Sunday is the third annual National Punctuation Day. Your questions on all the things that come after those P's and Q's, the ellipses, the apostrophes, the semicolons, the colons, the commas. Joining us to talk about it is Jeff Rubin, who is founder of National Punctuation Day. Thank you so very much.
Hi, Pat.
You're a punctuation czar.
Yes.
Self-appointed, I gather.
That's what I am told. Actually, no. Somebody gave me that title.
Was it divine?
No, but it's not genetic.
So you didn't inherit it.
I did not.
3 years ago, you founded National Punctuation Day. Was there a proclamation? Did anybody rally in the streets? Did parades turn out?
My wife and I went out for bagels and coffee.
I think that's a good start.
That was about it.
Our number again for your calls and questions on this is 866-893-5722 or ask at kpcc.org for your email or text questions. Jeff Rubin, why do people find punctuation so difficult?
You know, that's a very good question. I think part of it is because it's not taught a lot in school. And nowadays, especially with this generation growing up with text messaging, which has pretty much eliminated vowels from the language, they grow up perhaps thinking that writing skills are not important.
And, of course, punctuation is so easy to have it fall by the wayside. Dashes usually suffice.
Yes, that's true. Dashes or the ellipsis. Now you see the ellipsis for everything.
Because people don't know how to use the proper forms of punctuation.
That's true.
I have to tell you, Mr. Rubin, I was at a Republican National Convention a few years ago where hours were spent arguing over a comma in a platform fight. The phrase was, any new taxes which are oppressive. And the question was whether to put the comma after taxes. If you put the comma there, it meant that all taxes were oppressive.
That's right. You
took out the comma, it only meant only those new taxes which are oppressive, not
That's
necessarily
right.
all. And the Republicans were going round and round about this. And it warmed my heart to know that somebody still understood that a comma mattered.
So what did they end up doing?
I think they did the one without the comma because the presumption that all new taxes were oppressive was not then part of the Republican platform.
But it is now.
I haven't checked recently to see if the comma is still there. But there must be incidences on which punctuation, historical events on which in which punctuation mattered.
Well, there was just an event in Canada last month. A company called Alliant hired another company called Rogers to string cable lines, wires, across thousands of its utility poles in Canada. They signed a five-year contract. After the first year, Rogers, the people who were doing the work, raised its rates from $9 a cable to $28.05 a cable. Alliant took Rogers to court and said, we have a five-year contract, but no. There was a misplaced comma in the agreement that said that it's renegotiable every year of the five-year contract. And they decided to raise their rates. It's costing Alliant $2.13 million Canadian dollars.
The million-dollar comma.
Yes.
I think they will be better proofread from now on.
I wonder if that attorney still has a job.
And or maybe his proofreader. I know that possessives also are difficult for people, the apostrophes. I had neighbors whom I will call the Smiths who spelled the name on the mailbox S-M-I-T-H apostrophe S.
And you wanted to say the Smiths what?
I went over and changed it. I couldn't stand seeing it every day. I did.
We must meet.
Well, let's meet some of our callers. We have Rachel calling from Studio City. Go ahead, Rachel. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for having me.
Go ahead.
There has been a recent movement on the Internet to abolish the apostrophe because, for example, text messaging, you don't need it anymore. A lot of times text messaging will just put it in. But I cry out, I need the apostrophe. It gives me that moment of moral righteousness, knowing that I can use it and other people can't.
Well, English is a beautiful language, and you wouldn't misuse numbers because it would mean something else. By the same token, you wouldn't want to misuse words. If you don't put an apostrophe in C-A-N-T, it becomes a different word altogether.
That's right.
So what do you do, Rachel, when you see mistakes in newsletters or in even your friends' communications? Do you correct them?
I have been known to send emails back that have been proofread to friends of mine. I try to avoid it with anyone that I work for or with, but people that I know and that I care about, or also shopkeepers who spell carrots with an apostrophe, I've been known to go in and correct them.
And Rachel, this is Jeff. Hi.
Hello.
How many friends do you have?
Well, fortunately, they've become accustomed to my unusual ways, so we're all right.
You're one of us.
Rachel, don't stop. Keep it up.
Somebody has to look out for the apostrophe.
Thank you for the call. Jeff Rubin, are people like Rachel, people like you, people like me, are we considered elitists?
We're considered anal retentive.
And is that hyphenated or not?
There is a hyphen in anal retentive.
Well, even if we are a name that we don't agree with, we can at least punctuate it properly. Now, there's someone who has a bet on this question. It's from Max, and he wants to know, would you please explain the proper use of apostrophes? Of course, there are many uses.
Does he have a specific case in mind?
He doesn't. We should deal with possessives first and then maybe with contractions.
Possessives first. Apostrophes are used to form possessives. You add an apostrophe S to the singular form of a word, even if it ends in S. So let's say you have a name like James. James's hat would be J-A-M-E-S apostrophe S.
Well, that's in some usage. The Associated Press style book is different. But
the AP style book has dropped the additional S, but the elements of style includes it.
But the apostrophe per possessive almost always comes at the end of the S.
Always at the end of the S.
Okay.
Now, if it was Max's, though, M-A-X apostrophe S.
Got it. Now, also, we have a question from Susan. This is an admonition to a television station in town. The graphic, the morning news, calling the traffic report, traffic at the sevens, seven apostrophe S, should not have the apostrophe. By the same token, the New York Times will use it in plural. Say, talking about the 1980s, they put an apostrophe in there where none is necessary.
And the Times is wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
I'm glad to hear it. We have a question from Robin calling from Mount Washington. Go ahead, Robin.
Hey there, Pat. Nice. I just love your show. Thank you so much. And this one is, I was taught that quotations go after periods all the time. And is that true? Do quotations go after periods all the time?
Good question. I think we disagree with the British on this, don't we, Jeff Rubin?
It's true in this country. It's not true in England.
We put the period and then the quotation mark.
Yes.
Yes.
Same with the comma.
That's right.
But in England, they do it both ways. And you can read into that anything you like.
Robin, yes, you had another question?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Do people get resentful, Jeff Rubin, when, like our earlier caller, Rachel, you correct them?
Do they get resentful? No, they're used to it. You know, if your friends are friends in the true meaning of the word, then they accept this affliction in you, and they live with it, and they overlook it, and try to focus on your many good points.
They are true friends indeed. Our number for your calls, 866-893-5722. You can text or email to ask@kpcc.org to ask your punctuation questions of Jeff Rubin, the self-proclaimed punctuation czar. We have a call from Dennis in Covina. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Rubin, for having this day come
about.
You're
welcome.
I think that punctuation has been missing so poorly. Do people punctuate their very sentences that they express themselves with that it shows very often in how they communicate. I don't answer my emails that are poorly punctuated with the missing punctuation and even this missing silent E on your, you are, or what, you know, is it mine or what, you know, the possessive your along with you are, and if you're missing that punctuation, if you haven't done it right, if you've apocopated a word, words like apocopation, I mean, who knows these words?
Dennis, you're your idea is that the older generation does better because they were taught better?
I think, but, you know, you can apply yourself a little bit and you can learn some of this. Mr. Rubin, how do you feel about the period, close quote, period?
Oh, interesting. When is that used, Mr. Rubin?
The period, close quote, period. That is a new one for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think we lost Dennis, and I think it has to do with quoting something that ends in a period and then ending your own quotation. Does one period and one quote suffice?
Well, it's a closed single quote, closed double quote, but it comes after the period.
They both come after the period.
Yeah.
Got it. How should we celebrate National Punctuation Day?
Well, I am going to sleep late and take my wife out for breakfast. I'm going to grab the local paper and mark it up with a red marking pen. And add it to, you know, I still do this. And every once in a while when I get a nice pile, I mail it off to the editor. And then I'm going to drive around and take pictures of incorrectly punctuated signs. I saw a wonderful one today on the way to Sacramento in a bagel store. If you can believe this, it was a sandwich board where they talked about, listed all the sandwiches and salads.
Uh-huh.
There were 3 punctuation errors and 5 misspelled words.
Do you have a website where we can read these horrors?
Yes, nationalpunctuationday.com.
And we can see examples of them and submit them as well.
I eagerly anticipate your listeners
National,
taking photographs and sending them to me.
NationalPunctuationDay.com. Jason is calling from L.A. Go ahead, Jason.
Yes, I have a question regarding the use of commas to separate items in a list, whether there always must be a comma before the and. I can take my comment off the air. I'm just curious about this because I hear debate on it.
Jason's going to take notes, I think.
The serial comma. Yes. It depends which style book you follow. Elements of Style says that you put the third comma in. Associated Press says leave it out.
You mean in front of the and?
In front of the and.
Before the last item.
Yes.
Certainly if you've only got 2 items.
2 items, no comma.
Got it.
And so my advice is, you know, pick a style. Pick a style and be consistent with it.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. Your website again?
NationalPunctuationDay.com.
All right, if you are punctilious about punctuation, if you're the sort of people who change your neighbor's mailboxes when they're misspelled and punctuated and mispunctuated, when you go through the grocery store, as some of our callers have said, correcting the punctuation as you go, this is the website for you. This is also the holiday for you. Sunday is National Punctuation Day, the 3rd annual. May there be many more. Jeff Rubin, is the founder of National Punctuation Day and the self-proclaimed punctuation czar. Thank you for joining us. The program's produced by Janice Watchy Hurst, Jessica Potter, and Karen Fritchie, with help from Renee Saldana. Senior producer is Amy Machado. Jose Sanchez engineers. I'm Pat Morrison. Thanks for listening.